Today I'm going to give you a brief introduction of sugarcane aphid problem in Louisiana, and then I'll talk about the host plant resistance work that we did, and that was mostly biochemical, and I looked at amino acids in the phloem sap and honeydew. Briefly talking about the aphids in Louisiana, there are two types of aphids. One is white in color, and it's commonly called white aphid or sugarcane aphid, and the other one is yellow in color, which is commonly called yellow sugarcane aphid. So both are easily distinguishable based on their colors. My work focuses on sugarcane aphid, and which is Melanophis saccharii, and for the rest of my talk I will only say sugarcane aphid, and I will not talk about yellow sugarcane aphid. Sugarcane aphid is a cosmopolitan insect pest of sugarcane and sorghum mainly, and it was first discovered in Louisiana in 1999. Other than sugarcane, it's also a pest of sorghum, rice, maize, and several other members of the grass family. As far as its economic importance is concerned, as it's a key pest of sorghum and sugarcane in many parts of the world. So what it does is basically the loss of chlorophyll, honeydew production, which leads to the development of black sooty mold, and it's also a vector of three persistent viruses. So those are the three major problems caused by this aphid. In South Africa, where it's also called sorghum aphid, because the losses due to this aphid are huge if unchecked by the chemicals. In some reports, 46% to 78% yield losses in sorghum have been reported over there. In Louisiana, we don't have direct yield losses due to this aphid. However, losses due to sugarcane yellow leaf virus have been reported as high as 11% to 14%. And because of that, yellow leaf has been added in the certification standards of micropropagated sugarcane. There are several management options available and have been proven effective in many parts of the world. However, we are looking at host plant resistance in this study. Based on our previous studies, we found that population growth rate, there are significant differences among these five commercial cultivars. And we found that L97-128 is the most susceptible cultivar, while HOCP-91-555 is the most resistant cultivar. And there was almost 3 times difference in the number of aphids that can be produced on 128 than on 555. So the objective of this study was to see if that resistance that we observed in the greenhouse studies also sustains in the field conditions. And we also wanted to identify the biochemical basis of such resistance. For first objective, we planted those five cultivars under field conditions and in a 5-rep test in Youngsville, Louisiana in the summer of 2006. Data was collected in April through September 2007, and it was biweekly data, and from each plot, 10 plants were randomly selected, and the whole plant was observed for aphid presence, and then the number of aphids were only counted on 2 leaves with maximum aphid aggregation. For biochemical basis of resistance studies, we looked at free amino acids in the phloem sap, honeydew, total phenolics, as well as water potential. But since total phenolics and water potential, we did not detect any significant differences between two varieties, so I'm not going to talk about those two things. So for these studies, we only selected L97-128, which was susceptible cultivar, and HOCP-91-555, which is resistant cultivar. For the rest of my talk, I will only say 128 for the susceptible cultivar and 555 for the resistant cultivar. We planted these in the greenhouse, several reps of each one of these cultivar, and then we chose leaf number 4 for phloem sap extraction. We extracted phloem sap with 5 millimolar EDTA solution, and immediately after cutting the leaf that was put into that solution, and for 60 minutes we incubated that in an incubator with more than 90% relative humidity. The samples were frozen at minus 80 degrees centigrade before HPLC analysis. For honeydew collection, we again planted these same cultivars, same number of reps, and we chose same leaf number 4 for honeydew collection. I made this cage, a sticky cage, which it's very simple, just mounting tape plus parafilm, and we confined 15 nymphs in each cage on each cultivar, and then honeydew was collected on this parafilm. Then we had to pull together because in our initial test the we could not detect many peaks. So we had to pull together the amino, the honeydew from several different reps, and we dissolved it in 1 milliliter of water, and then the samples were frozen for HPLC analysis. We did HPLC analysis for amino acids in the phloem sap and honeydew, and the data was analyzed for each one of the parameters that I'll mention the results using PROCmix and SAS software. This slide shows what we observed under field conditions, and I have made bold lines only for the cultivars that we are interested, the most resistant and the most susceptible. And we see over here that 128, initially we did not see any, the populations were extremely low from beginning of April till mid-May, and then we started seeing increase in aphid numbers on almost all cultivars, but that increase was never consistent. However, we see that 128 was always significantly higher than other resistant variety cultivar, which is 555. And we see that 555, throughout the season, the numbers on this cultivar were extremely low. And then there was population crash after mid-July, and after that the populations didn't increase. These are our greenhouse results, which show that when we looked at total free amino acids as well as essential or non-essential free amino acids, we did not detect any significant differences for any one of these parameters between two cultivars. This slide shows the amino acid composition as well as the relative amount of each of the free amino acids on both cultivars. And these asterisks indicate the cultivar-specific amino acids. And we see that on the susceptible cultivar, there were two essential amino acids, which is histidine and arginine, that were detected in the phloem sap of 128. While another essential amino acid, which is valine, was only detected from the phloem sap of 555. The most dominant amino acid in phloem sap of both cultivar was alanine. Now I'll talk about honeydew. When we look at honeydew excreted from the aphids feeding on either variety, we see that there was a significant decrease in the amount of total free amino acids as well as non-essential free amino acids in the honeydew than in the honeydew from the aphids feeding on 128, which is susceptible cultivar, than 555. This slide shows the relative amount of each free amino acid as well as the composition of free amino acid while aphids were feeding on resistant and susceptible cultivar. And these asterisks indicate the cultivar-specific amino acids. And we noticed that there were 4 amino acids that were detected only in the honeydew from aphids feeding on 128, which was susceptible cultivar. We also noticed a shift in the composition as well as relative amounts of amino acids in the honeydew than in the phloem sap, and we noticed that aspartic and glutamic acid were the most dominant amino acids in the honeydew, while alanine was the most dominant amino acid in the phloem sap. Now I will mention what happens when we look at each cultivar individually, and we see a significant decrease in the amount of total as well as non-essential free amino acids in the a decrease in honeydew than in the phloem sap. And this indicates that we observed 7 more peaks, and 5 of them were essential free amino acids that were seen only in the honeydew of aphids feeding on 128, but those were not detected in the phloem sap. What happens on the resistant cultivar? Again, similar trend, a significant decrease in total as well as non-essential free amino acids as we saw on the susceptible cultivar. This shows what happens and the shift in amino acid composition in honeydew than in the ingested phloem sap, and we see that there are 4 additional peaks, and those are all 4 are essential free amino acids. From these we conclude that there are four differential amino acids. Two of them are essential and two are non-essential. And we conclude, overall conclusion is that HOCP-91555 maintains its resistance status under field conditions, and resistance to the sugarcane aphid is biochemical based, and there are certain particular free amino acids that are only present in the sap of, that are not present in the sap of resistant cultivar, and the aphid feeding on that resistant cultivar is unable to manufacture two essential free amino acids, which are isoleucine and leucine. Thank you very much for your time and attention. No, I cannot make a general statement about that. It varies for each and every aphid. Sometimes only one amino acid, if that is absent from the diet of the aphid, one essential amino acid, it will grow totally differently. Sometimes aphid can live with one absent amino acid and they can grow fine. But if there are two absent or three absent, then that might have a significant effect on their growth. So varies from aphid to aphid.